Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you to let you know that one of the organizations that has been birthed out of Bethany Baptist Church is the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. This fall, we will be offering four classes: Right to Life, Right to Choose. In this, we'll look at the subject of abortion and give us a more comprehensive perspective in light of God's Word. American Sign Language, where we teach people how to sign to the deaf culture in the Christian context. We also have biblical counseling, where we train people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have apologetics, where we defend the Christian faith. The classes begin this fall. They are all Zoom classes, so you can take them right from the convenience of your home. If you are interested or want more information, call 412-242-3255. To register or for more information, call 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today as we continue in the Psalms with the first half of On the Road Again from Psalms 51. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalms 51 and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of On the Road Again.
Oh God, may the measure of your eternal love be the measure of your mercy. And may the measure of your mercy be sufficient to blot out my great sins and cancel the guilt of my wrongdoing. I have failed, O Lord, and my failures weigh heavily upon my heart. I cannot share them with all my brother, lest they weigh too heavily upon him, and may even threaten my relationship with him. But you know what they are, O God, and how far I have fallen short of your standards and expectations. I am only human, Lord. It was not my choice that I was propelled into this fractured world. The weaknesses that plague me are not of my own doing, nor can I handle them by my own strength alone. I know that nothing can be hidden from you. I can only acknowledge my indictment and accept your loving forgiveness. Purge me of my guilt, O Lord. Heal the hurts of those who have been afflicted by my failures. Revive my flagging spirit, O God. Restore to me the joy and assurance of a right relationship with you. Reinstate me in your purposes and help me to avoid the snares and pitfalls along the way. It is only then that my tongue will be set free to sing your praises and my hands to perform the task you have set before me. It is only then that I can relate deeply and meaningfully to my brother and communicate to him the message of reconciling love. I bring you no oblation or sacrifice, my God, only a foolish, self-centered heart. I do come to you with a sincere desire to be your servant, to walk in your course for my life, to receive your love, and to channel such love to my fellow men about me. I thank you, God. This is acceptable to you, and I will remain your child forever. And as we come today, we see that Psalm 51 is a psalm of confession, a psalm of repentance, a psalm of forgiveness. And it's in the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and you don't need to turn there, but I'll read this for you, and I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Bible, that Isaiah spoke of a day when the people of God would travel a road called the highway of holiness. Isaiah saw this day. Isaiah saw travelers on this road who were walking on this road. And notice what Isaiah says about these travelers on this road. He says this in the New American Standard. And a main road will go through that once desert land. It will be named a highway of holiness. Evil-hearted people will never travel on it. It will only be for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. This highway. Isaiah saw a highway. He saw this highway of holiness that only the pure in heart could walk on. He saw this highway of holiness that only the righteous could walk on. And God's desire is that his people would travel this highway of holiness. God's desire is for each and every person in here today to walk on the highway of holiness. In your life, there's a road. Every day you get up, you travel a road. You travel a highway of your life. If we look to what Jesus said in Matthew, he said there's a broad road that leads to destruction. Oh, but on the other way, there's a narrow way that leads to life. God wants us to choose this highway of holiness. God wants us to choose this highway that leads to life. And we make choices every day along the way, whether we are going to walk the highway of holiness or if we're going to travel the broad road that leads to destruction. God said in Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." And then he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, "But as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So God's desire is that we walk on this highway of holiness. But you know, I find sometimes in the Christian life, we tend to wander off the highway of holiness. Maybe we wander to the curbside. Maybe we wander down on the hillside. And once again, maybe many of us wander completely away from the highway of holiness, and we end up on the broad road that leads to destruction. Thank God for Psalm 51. Because Psalm 51 tells you how to get on the road again. That's the title of my message. Willie Nelson said, "On the road again." I just can't wait to get on the road again. Man, let that be our desire. If we get off the road, let that be our desire to say, "I just can't wait to get on the road again." Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. My, how our hearts have been blessed already, Lord. Man, just you have taken us into the heights of spiritual glory, Father. And we pray that while you have us there, Lord, that you will allow the word of God to impregnate our souls and give us insight and wisdom into the life that you would have us to live. Lord, let us realize that we know that we can't be perfect. We know that we can't continue on in this life without making mistakes and without having downfalls. But Lord, we can understand that when we do find ourselves off the highway of holiness that Isaiah talked about, Lord, that we have Psalm 51 that lets us know how to get back on the highway of holiness. Lord, enrich our hearts, enrich our lives today as a result of examining this 51st Psalm. Lord, as we look at your word today, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Lord, let us eat at your table today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The highway of holiness. We can get back on the road. The beautiful thing about this relationship that we have in Jesus Christ, that whenever we find ourselves in the flesh, whenever we find ourselves doing something that is contrary to God's plans and God's purposes, that all we need do is bow the knees of our heart and ask God for forgiveness. Ask God to restore us ask God to help us get back on the road again. Because God wants travelers who will walk this road. And you know, it's good to know that when you're walking the highway of holiness, that you see some travelers along with you. See, in the world, if you're walking the highway of holiness, I tell you what, it's going to be a lonely road. And the reason it will be a lonely road, because there's not a whole lot of travelers in the world that are walking this road. And so sometimes you may walk for miles and you may be the only person that's on the road. Oh, but let me tell you, it's always good whether you get on Pat Bus or whether you go to a health club or whether you are downtown somewhere when you see another traveler on the road. And you can just rejoice with that other individual and say, praise God, I'm on the road too. And so you might find yourself sometimes a little frustrated and discouraged while you're on the road. But just take heart. The fact that you were one of the only travelers on the road, let me tell you this. The fact that you are one of the only travelers on the road, you know what that means? That you're on the right road. It means that you're on the right road. Because the Bible says there's many on the broad road. There's a whole lot of folk traveling that way. And you know what? It's easy to travel the broad road. Look at TV. Look at all the issues and things that people are dealing with, all the wrong. You know, you get to the point where you hate to turn on your news anymore. Just hear so much negativity and so much death and destruction. Why? Because you got all these people traveling on the broad road. Oh, God wants a group of people who will walk this highway of holiness. Now, let me say this, because, you know, sometimes when the pastors start talking about holiness, people shut them off. Well, you know, he's just talking about Saint Teresa and Mother Teresa and the Pope. And no, you know what? Holiness is for everybody. You know, don't let certain ideas and certain people steal and rob you of your concept of holiness. Because all holiness is living in a right relationship with God and walking according to that relationship. It's not that hard. It's not anything difficult. Back in the Middle Ages, you had the monks that would go in monasteries and isolate themselves for years and years. You would have others that would crawl on hands and knees for miles and miles to demonstrate holiness. You had people that would go without food for months to demonstrate holiness. That's not what holiness is all about. Holiness is about this relationship with God and being obedient to him. Plain and simple. Let's not make this thing harder than it is. And the psalmist lets us know, if we ever get off the road, that all we got to do is go to Psalm 51. I was talking to one of the brothers, and he said that he was memorizing Psalm 51, because when you get off the road, it's good to have this psalm in your heart to be able to get right back on it. God's people sin, and that causes us to get off this highway of holiness. If you look in your notes this morning, you'll see that there are all type of sin that we can't commit. There are sins of omission, and that is when we fail to do something that God has told us to do. There are sins of commission, which we do when we willingly violate a principle that God has established. There are external sins, sins that we commit that everybody can see. There are internal sins that we commit that nobody can see and know except us and God. There are deliberate sins. There are, you know, some folk just deliberately and willfully go out and sin. And then there are unintentional sins. You know, sometimes you may find yourself caught up in something or doing something that you didn't intentionally mean to get caught up in. Man, there's just so many varieties and opportunities for sin. You know, I had a sheet and I forgot to bring it over here this morning, but I was going to just read off all the multitude of sins that somebody can commit. Pride, jealousy, theft, murder, adultery, fornication, drunkenness, bitterness, envy, anger. Man, we could go on and on and on. So if you're sitting here today saying that I never sin, well, 1 John says that you're a liar. Because we all sin. All right? So we need to find ourselves understanding what it takes to get back on the highway of holiness. You know, I'm going to talk about brokenness this morning in this 51st Psalm. And, you know, sometimes we have to come to a point where we are broken. You know, last week, man, was an overwhelming week for me. And then I knew I was getting ready to go out of town, and I just saw all this stuff that I needed to do, and I just broke down. I just said, Lord, I can't do this, man. I can't do it. And I mean, I just sat down in my office, and I just broke. And you know what? God just came and said, that's exactly where I want you to be. I want you to be right where you are right now. I want you to be broken because you realize that you can't do it. And you need me. And you need my strength. So you've been getting up and you've been doing your thing and you've been trying to get everything done that needs to be done and you can't do it. And look where it led you to. You're frustrated. You're wondering, you know, how you're going to get all this done? God is. That's why I had to stand up and shout this morning. God is my all in all. God is the joy and the strength of my life. Amen. Amen. And so when you think about that, you know, God wants you to come to this place of brokenness. And we sometimes persist in going on and doing wrong. We persist in going on and in our sin, and we fail to travel the highway of holiness. And you know, some of us are bigger sinners than others. You know, God doesn't want you to be sinless. You heard me say this before, but he does want you to be sinless or to sin less. We can never be sinless. God understands. As a matter of fact, David said, look what David said in Psalm 51 in verse 5. He said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know, he said that with a sin nature, I have been conceived. So God is not surprised when we sin, because that's what sinners do. Sinners sin. But he wants us to sin less. You know, I heard the story about a man that was taken to heaven, and he was being ushered around heaven, and he saw this room that were filled with clocks. And he asked the angel that was taking him around, you know, what does all these clocks mean in this room? And the angel said, well, you see, these are the clocks of people on the earth. And every time they sin, you know, it moves a second. And there was one clock that was hardly moving at all. And he said, well, whose clock is that? He said, oh, that's Billy Graham. He said, you know, Billy Graham, you know, he don't hardly sin, man, you know, and his clock moves kind of slow. And then looking around a little bit more, he saw one that was moving even slower. And he said, well, whose clock is that? He said, oh, that's the Pope. You know, the Pope, he don't sin. So he was looking around. And finally he asked a question. He said, well, where's my clock at? He said, well, your clock is in the kitchen. We use it for a fan. See, so I hope that we don't have any people here today that your clocks are in heaven cooling off the angels. See, but there is good news, is that if we do find ourselves having committed a sin, if we do find ourselves off the side of the road, that Psalm 51 lets us know how we can get back on the highway of holiness. The background to this psalm, the superscription, if you'll look, now the superscription is that paragraph or a couple sentences that come before the psalm. So, you know, sometimes we have to try to fit in the background to some of these psalms, but on this particular one, you don't have to try to fit in the background, because the author tells you the background of the psalm right here. Look in the superscription, is once again those sentences that come before the psalm. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So the background for this particular psalm is when David had committed that sin with Bathsheba. You remember he should have been out to war, and instead of being out to war, he was chilling in the palace. He got up and saw Bathsheba taking a bath, called her over. One thing led to another, and the next thing we know that she was with child. And so David then tries to cover it up. He calls her husband, who was, and as you study it out, you find that Uriah the Hittite, when they listed David's mighty men, the mighty men, I mean, I'm talking about men that stood behind David. Men, you know, there was one occasion when David said, I want a drink of water. And a couple of his mighty men ran down the hill, busted through the enemy, got David some cold water, busted back through the enemy, and brought David the water again. And David said, man, this water is too precious. He said, I can't drink this. You guys have risked your life. Those were David's mighty men that went down there, mighty men that would lay down their life for David. And Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men. When they list the mighty men, Uriah is right there. And here David calls him back tries to get him to get drunk and go be with his wife, but he refuses to do so. He's so dedicated to David. And David, realizing that his plan has failed, sends a note with Uriah back to the general and tells him to put him on the front line in the battle. And to make a long story short, Uriah is killed in battle. And here is David. And you know, somebody said that David broke several of the Ten Commandments in what he did. Now this is powerful. This is powerful. David had a man murdered. He committed adultery. He coveted his neighbor's wife, and he stole. He violated four of the Ten Commandments. And here we see David comes and asks for forgiveness. Man, what is it that you've done? Some people think that I've done something so bad that God can never forgive me. This psalm is written to let you know what's the worst sin. You know, when we think about sin, all sin is sin. Christ died on the cross for all sin. But when you think about, when you start categorizing what could be the worst thing somebody could do is to have somebody killed. To take that person's wife and commit adultery. Man, those are some terrible things. But God is here to let you know that I'm a God of mercy and that I'm a God of forgiveness. And if you just turn towards me, that the vilest sinner who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Man, that's powerful when you think about no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, there's forgiveness from God. And Psalm 51 lets us know that we can be forgiven. And I would hope that many of us sitting here today haven't done as great a sin as David did. And we can realize and we can appreciate this opportunity that we have to come to the foot of the cross and kneel and ask God to forgive us. And that we don't have to wait till we come to church on Sunday morning when Deacon Boston gives the altar call to come and confess your sin. But you should stop. We should get in the habit. I like what Chuck Swindoll says. Chuck Swindoll says that we need to get in the habit of keeping short-term accounts with God. That the minute that we sin, that we ought to find an altar somewhere. Make our steering wheel an altar. Make our living room couch an altar. Make our office chair an altar. And just bow down on our knees and ask God to forgive us. That's the way that we need to work this thing. But too long and too many Christians sometimes, we let sin build up and build up and build up. David did that. You know, it was almost a year before David confessed his sin. Now, I believe that David was aware of his sin, but he went through almost a whole year before he confessed it. And you know, there's some people sitting here today that you know you're wrong. You know you've done some wrong. And you refuse to bend and yield in your heart and give it up to God. Oh, you need to go somewhere and read this 51st Psalm.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of On the Road Again from Psalms 51. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, On the Road Again, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Myrna Patterson reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.